Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Now, some of our professions have a funny way of kind of ushering you into that place more than others. You know, when people ask me what I do for a living, you know, I say to them, man, you know, I'm a pastor. And they go, oh, wow, you know, that sounds like difficult work. And it does have its challenges, gang. I'll be the first one to admit that. But, you know, when people say, well, you know, how do you stay up with that? I say, man, I'll tell you, I've got the greatest boss in the universe, and you can't beat the retirement plan. You know, if you go to work for Jesus every day, you're going to have the greatest boss in the universe. You're going to have someone that always does what's right and what's fair and is ultimately going to reward you. Now, interesting, this brings us back to our passage in Proverbs chapter 22. Do you see a man who excels in his work? A man who excels in his work is someone that is quick on the job, they are vigorous on the job, they are efficient on the job. Do you see a man who's vigorous in his work? Well, that's a really good question. You know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, an individual who's a great employee, you know, an individual who brings God to work with them and works for the Lord. But how often do we see this kind of thing in practice? Who can really live that out? Well, the wonderful thing that I love about the Scripture is whenever we come face to face with a principle or a precept, a command like the one we're seeing here about being someone who's excellent in their work, God is so good about not leaving the details to our imagination. In fact, one of the reasons that your Bible tends to be so thick is because we do see how these biblical truths work out in the crucible of human experience. You know, when we ask ourselves, you know, do you see a man who excels at his work, someone who's really great at what they do? You know, maybe the best example of an individual who embodied that was a man that we meet in the book of Genesis as well. His name was Joseph. Now, those of you who are somewhat familiar with the story of Joseph, maybe you've seen Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, know that he was an extraordinary individual. How extraordinary? Do you realize there are more chapters devoted to the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis than there are to Abraham? Yeah, talk about a crucial guy in God's plan. And when we take a look at Joseph's life through the lens of being a great employee, you see a man who excels at his work. Boy, this principle we find in Proverbs becomes very, very vivid. What was the thing that allowed Joseph to be such an amazing person on the job that God literally used his life to change the course of history for the entire world? Well, you got to go back to the beginning. You're probably familiar with the story of Joseph. Joseph was the offspring of Jacob's favored wife. Because he was the offspring of his favored wife, Rachel, you know, the interesting thing about him was he kind of got, well, the blessing and curse of being the apple of his daddy's eye. Yeah, you remember the idea of Joseph receiving from Jacob a coat of many colors. Well, literally in Hebrew, that means a coat with sleeves. Did you know that? Yeah, and there was a reason why he was wearing a coat with sleeves. Why was that significant? Because in that day and age, when you're working in an agrarian culture, you know, you wanted to have your arms free because you're doing grunt work. You know, the idea of sitting in front of a computer all day would probably sound like paradise to those people back then. So the way you dress is this. They'd get maybe like a 10-foot piece of cloth. They'd cut a hole in the middle. You'd stick your head in through the hole, cinch up both sides, and you'd have your arms free to work. unless you were given a coat with sleeves. You know what that meant? You were management. You weren't going to get, I like working with my hands, but I don't like getting my fingernails dirty. That was the designation for something. Someone shows up with a coat with sleeves, they go, that guy, don't bother to ask him to give you a hand. He's not there to do that. So lo and behold, here's Joseph coming on the scene. He's got, 10 other brothers, and they're looking at him, and here he's got the coat with sleeves. That seems to be sort of stagnant. Well, things get even more interesting when God gets involved. We're told that when his brothers saw that Jacob favored him, we're told they hated him, could not speak peaceably to him, couldn't even say shalom to the guy. But then the hole gets dug even deeper when God comes on the scene. We're told now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear the dream, which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? They didn't need an interpretation here, baby. They had figured it out. Or shall you have dominion? So they hated him even more, if that was possible, for his dreams and his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers. They said, look, I dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him, saying to him, what is this dream you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. Now notice, Jake is ticked off. Jacob is looking at his kid. You kind of get the feeling Joseph's like, I've had this dream. I know it's from God. I know God wants to share it. When you share it with you, I know you're not going to like it, but here it is. And Pop just blows his top. Who do you think you are anyway? Now, stop and think about this for a second. These dreams, right, didn't do Joseph any favors. They lit the fuse of conflict. But they also provided an important light that kept Joseph going through difficult times. And boy, let me tell you something. We are told in the scripture, that in Proverbs chapter 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a why for what you do in life, pretty soon the what in your life is going to fall apart. And the reason that God intervened and showed Joseph these amazing things was because God saw how history was going to unfold. God saw the future, and he knew that Joseph needed that kind of encouragement if he's going to stay on course. We're the same way. Stop and think about it. Do you have a vision for your life? Do you understand that God has a purpose and a meaning and a direction for your life that only you can fulfill? In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are told, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, a couple things about that. First of all, your life and your circumstances are no accident. God saw it coming a long, long time ago. Before he even said, let there be light, he knew all about you. And he had a purpose and a plan for your existence. Now notice something else about this. We are told we are his workmanship. The word workmanship there in the original language, Greek, is the word poema. We get our term poem from that. It literally means an artist's masterpiece. God doesn't mass produce his children. God is making you into a work of art. You have a calling from God, an ability to glorify God, that no one else in the universe can occupy. You are that special in the sight of God. And unless we understand that, unless we have that vision for our lives, say, okay, God, I didn't come to faith in Jesus by accident. I'm not in my life circumstances that I'm in right now by accident. Nothing is a fluke. There, it's been said, bad luck, that's an unkosher word. It doesn't exist in Scripture. God is using you. God desires to use you. God desires to reveal himself in you and through you. And he desires to do it on the job. How do we know this? Well, that same guy, Joseph, who received this vision, from God, that you know, again, his brothers were going to bow down, the sheaves of wheat, and you know, the star, sun, moon, the stars, that even his mom and his dad were going to bow down before him along with the family at one point. Well, it motivated him to be faithful to God. And boy, that motivation for faithfulness was absolutely crucial in the life of Joseph. Stop and think about it. I'm going to give you the fast-forward version of Joseph's life here. And hopefully this is going to be one of those examples. You know, you've heard the old expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah, but you can salt the horse. Yeah, you can make the horse thirsty and make him want to drink. I hope this is a horse salting session for you. That you'll want to study the life of Joseph and read through the account of his life, because there's so many insights, not only into Joseph's life, but even to the life of Jesus Christ that we find in it. But for our purpose here today, stop and think about why God gave Joseph this remarkable dual action 2D vision for his life here. Because, again, as the old saying goes, don't get cocky, things are going to get rocky. And it was like the more Joseph tried to do the right thing, the more bad things seemed to happen to him. Stop and think. Right after receiving this vision, he's faithful to his father, right? He's got the coat with sleeves. He's kind of the supervisor and all that. You know, Jacob knows that the rest of the boys are flakes. So he basically says to the one son he could trust, Joseph, hey, go on down and check out how your brothers are doing. You know, they're in Dothan. So he goes down to Dothan. They're not there. And, you know, he's kind of wandering around looking for them. He asks the guy where they go. Oh, yeah, I heard they went up to Shechem. You know, and so, you know, the thing I love about Joseph was this. He didn't just do the bare minimum, right? You know, he was told to go down to Dothan and look for them. He can't find them in Dothan. So he, you know, doesn't just go for the letter of the law. He goes for the spirit behind it. Okay, my dad wants me to check out these guys. I could say, I went to Dothan. I just did what he told. I'm going to just kick back. I know these guys aren't going to be glad to see me anyway. But he does more than what was required. So what does he get? He goes down to Shechem, finds the brothers. The brothers see him coming and going, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams. So what did they do? They threw him in a pit. You know, after they threw him in a pit, you know, it's so funny. You know, just human nature being was. They worked him an appetite. After they threw him in the pit, he's screaming and crying for his life down there in this dead, empty well. You know, it says they got hungry and shared a meal with each other. Want to talk about some cold characters, man. You know, so, you know, and after, you know, the brother says, yeah, it's kind of, be kind of a shame to kind of kill him. You know, what's the profit in that? I know, let's sell him into a living debt. Here comes the Midianite traders, they're heading for Egypt. Let's sell him as a slave. Dad will never see him again. We'll take that coat of many colors, that coat with sleeves. We'll dip it in some goat's blood and tell Dad an animal ate him. Man, you want to talk about cold-blooded. But that's exactly what happened. Here, Joseph is faithful to his father, and guess what? Ends up sold into slavery. But Joseph was also an example of another principle in Scripture. Boy, you can't keep a godly man down, can you? Because here he goes, he ends up in the slave market in Egypt, and he gets purchased by this guy Potiphar, who is an Egyptian official. Potiphar sees that this kid has potential, he gives him more and more responsibilities. Before too long, Joseph is running everything in Potiphar's house. God lifts him up in a powerful way, and that's the good news. The bad news is he did such a great job, he caught the eye of Mrs. Potiphar, who, well, you know, you talk about soap operas. This was a real soap opera. She kept making passes at Joseph. One was so aggressive, literally tore the robe off of him. And when she realized that he had ran out and she was holding the robe, she cried rape. And so who are you going to believe? You believe this slave from another country? Or are you going to believe Mrs. Potiphar? You get the kind of feeling that Potiphar sort of knew what his wife was all about. Because if he had really believed the wife's story, Joseph would have been killed on the spot. Instead, he's sent to an Egyptian prison. Huh. Could you imagine being Joseph at this point? Of all the trials that we go through in this life, there are a few trials that are harder to bear than being wronged for doing the right thing. You know, it just aggravates. It just digs. And here Joseph gets tossed into this jail. But once again, Joseph is the original. When life hands you lemons, let's make some lemonade. So he starts being faithful in the prison. The warden of the prison sees this guy's got a lot on the ball. Before too long, he's running the whole jail. warden's kicking back, and Joseph is doing everything. And lo and behold, while he's doing that, a couple of, well, VIP prisoners are put into his care. One was the king's baker, and the other was the king's cupbearer. And it's so funny. You talk about what a great guy Joseph was on the job. He comes to the king's cupbearer and the king's baker, and he says, "Why are you guys so sad?" So sad? They're in jail. Johnny Cash writes songs about being in jail, right? Of course they're sad. No, but apparently the way Joseph ran jail, it was kind of the exception to see somebody with a long face. He says, "Oh, we both had dreams, and nobody can tell us the interpretation of the dreams." And he says, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. I'll tell you what it means. God will give the interpretation. And lo and behold, one of the dreams meant that the cupbearer would be restored to his position. The other dream meant that the baker was going to end up losing his life, getting hung. And lo and behold, he says to the cupbearer, he goes, "Look, when you're restored to your place, remember me, because I'm not in this prison because I've done anything wrong." Yeah, Joseph, never forget you. Lo and behold, Joseph's interpretation comes true. The baker gets hung. The cupbearer is restored to his place. And guess what? We are told the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. Yeah, I'm sure it's like, "Man, I'm glad that prison's in the rearview mirror. I don't ever want to think about that ever again." He not only forgot about Joseph, he forgot about Joseph, catch this, for 2 whole years. Now, can you imagine how that played on Joseph's mind? Could you imagine if, you know, God had given you the interpretation of this guy's dream? God is going to raise up this cupbearer. God told me this, and oh boy, this is going to be great, you know, and I bet you it's going to be 20 minutes. I'm going to be out of here. Yeah, you know, Pharaoh's going to raise him up. He's like, "Oh, Pharaoh, by the way, you got a great guy down there in the jail. You're going to need this guy." 20 minutes, nothing happens. "Oh, well, you know, maybe Pharaoh had a heavy dock. Maybe 2 days. 2 days for sure. 2 days for sure, you know, this is going to come up. And you know, I'm going to be out of this place." And 2 days goes by. And, well, you know, maybe Pharaoh's got other things in his mind, and this guy just kind of wants to lay low for a little while and rebuild his credibility. 2 weeks, I'm sure. 2 months, nothing. Could you imagine after 12 months, you go, "Man, I'm going to be in this stinking prison the rest of my life." Now, the important thing for us to understand in this is that God was using that time in prison to prepare Joseph for even greater things. And one of God's greatest tools, you know, the tool that God uses that looks so good when he uses it in the lives of other people, not so much with us, it's described in the book of James chapter 1. And verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." Man, I can wait for anything but patience, can't you? Could you imagine 2 years in that jail? You know, it would be very easy. We could probably understand how Joseph probably gave up all hope he was ever going to get out of there. But then lo and behold, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a couple of dreams. You're familiar with the dreams. One was seven fat cows coming up out of the Nile, and then seven skinny, gaunt, almost hideously deformed cows, walking dead cows, I guess, come up out of the Nile and eat the fat cows. Then, you know, these beautiful, you know, luxurious wheat stalks grow up, and they're very, very fruitful. And then these really blighted and burned out wheat stalks grow up, and they eat up all the good wheat, and it's gone. And there's seven in both of them. And Pharaoh has this dream, and he can't sleep. So he calls in all of his gurus and his mystics, and he says, "Can you imagine?" "Oh, I have no idea what this." And then the cupbearer standing there listening to this goes, "Oh, I could have had a V8. This guy in prison. You know how, Pharaoh, you restored me to my position after 3 days and all this? He told me the meaning of the dream. Go get him. He can tell you what this means." And Pharaoh calls Joseph in. He says, "I understand you can interpret dreams." I love Joseph's heart because he said this: "The interpretation is not with me, but God will give Pharaoh the interpretation." He gave credit where credit was due. And you know what I love about that? Prison didn't make Joseph bitter. It made him better. That hanging in there, that just one day at a time. Okay, God, if I'm going to be here in prison, I'm going to stay faithful. You've got something else going on here. I remember that vision you gave to me. That's not going to fall apart. I know you're going to be using me for a purpose and a meaning in all of this. He hung in there. Oh, and I think that is so important. He hung in there, and then God was able to use him in a way that quite literally not only delivered the entire nation of Egypt from the famine, that did in fact come. 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine that devastated the entire nation. It hit the whole world, including the incipient nation of Israel, Jacob and his 12 sons. What if Joseph had just said, forget it, I'm done. I tried faithfully. You ever run into people say, I tried Jesus and he didn't work for me? We couldn't blame Joseph if he had that kind of an attitude. But he refused to let his circumstances dictate his life. He decided to be faithful. And I want to share something with you. If you're in a difficult situation on the job, and it just seems like such a grind, and it just doesn't seem like there's any hope, well, maybe you're not being ground. Maybe you're being refined. Maybe God is using this difficult time in your life to prepare you for wonderful things that are absolutely beyond your ability to comprehend. You know, it's been said that a trial is always the prophecy of a miracle if we don't give up. You know, I love what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says about this. If you ever find yourself feeling like you're getting the end of your rope, remember this one. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Joseph, man, he was the poster child of that. He kept on, keeping on. You know, one of the saddest things I've seen in life is people who throw in the towel when they were 6 inches away from a miracle. Don't let that happen to you. Don't follow the Lord. Don't stay faithful in the job till it hurts. Stay faithful till it helps. Not only yourself, but others as well. And again, coming back to Proverbs chapter 22, beautiful insight into what the payoff of all of this is when we stand faithful in these difficult things. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Now look at that last thing. Stand before kings. So, Scott, are you telling me if I stay faithful flipping burgers, someday I'm going to be standing before kings? You know, if I keep my nose to the grindstone, you know, I'm going to have dinner with Donald Trump. I don't know if you even want to have dinner with Donald Trump, but no, that's not necessarily what's being promised here. I think the principle is key, that faithful in little is faithful in much. If you stay faithful in the little things, God will raise you up and give you more and more responsibilities, and the sky's the limit, really. But remember that phrase, the sky's the limit. You know, no matter what happens in the here and now in the horizontal, someday you will stand before a king.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior.
program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.